cherry pie, blueberry pie, chocolate pie, birthday cake, cookies, chocolate chip, oatmeal raisin, macadamia nut. You got the four-layer delight. You got cupcakes. You got donuts. I mean, candy bars, ice cream. There's 100,000 flavors of ice cream. Carrot cake, red velvet cake, chocolate cake, yellow cake. Oh, my God, I forgot sweet potato pie, pizza pie, chicken pot pie, shepherd's pie.
Airing every day from
noon to 3.
Talking baked with a crust, that gooey strawberry. When my grandma makes that, oh, my God. I'd kill 6 innocent people to have a slice of that right now. You know, if I was in another country, didn't know the people, and they said, you have to kill these people, nobody will ever know about it, but you get your slice of pie, that's a bad day for them.
I'm 1340 WKGN.
You don't want too much crust either. I don't like too much crust on my pies. A good, thin, flaky crust apple pie with the sugar on top, and throw that scoop, I mean, right out of the oven, too. I'm talking, I want you to picture this, right out of the oven, in a bowl. You chop it around a little bit. Scoop on top. A little drips through the crevices of the cinnamon apple. God, it's good.
Hour 3 kicking off in the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. Hour 3 headlines. Cody McClure, Collision Course, right now.
Thanks, John. The Knicks are laying the groundwork to fire David Fizdale. President Steve Mills, apparently, according to Woj, is laying the internal groundwork for an eventual dismissal of Coach David Fizdale in New York. So the Knicks looking to make a change.
Okay. Seems weird. Like, Fizdale got the Grizzlies job and was okay, but ultimately butted heads with Marc Gasol and lost a power struggle. He then got hired by the Knicks, and a lot of it was on the behalf of like his time with the Miami Heat whenever LeBron James and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh were there. They loved Fizdale. The Knicks thought David Fizdale was enough to help get them free agents, right? They thought, oh, this is a player's coach, good players like him, they'll want to play for him. Well, we know what happened to the Knicks in free agency last year. They struck out on all the big names and ended up with a bunch of power forward rejects like Taj Gibson and Julius Randle and one of the Morris twins. And it didn't help get them any big free agents. So now they're just left with a guy who we don't know if he's a good coach or not. That's not doing any winning. So it makes sense to go ahead and just fire him, I guess. The Knicks haven't taken any steps forward. It's okay that they're still losing to bad or good teams, I guess, but yesterday they lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers at home. That's not good, and that makes it tough to continue to employ that guy as your head coach.
Today is Veterans Day.
We love our veterans. We love the troops.
Just wanted to make sure everyone remembered today's Veterans Day. I don't have any other... Nothing else. This is just a headline.
Great headline.
Today is Veterans Day.
Should have been your story of the day.
Here's a headline for you. Oh, Ohio State. They're getting ready to play Rutgers this weekend.
Okay.
This is just a little fun fact. They opened up as a 50.5-point favorite over the Scarlet Knights, who are looking for a new coach.
Okay.
Guess what the total is for the game?
56.5.
55.
This so they is don't just... even think Rutgers kicks 2 field goals?
Nope. Ohio State, the game total, 55 points, is there and Ohio State is a 50.5-point favorite.
Is there anyone out there parlaying Ohio State and the under?
Oh, man.
Just like, hey, it's going to be 51-0 shutout. Like, it's going to be – they're going to have that 5-point window where Ohio State still covers, and it goes under.
I mean,
if you're betting on Ohio State to cover the 50, you have to take the over, right? Like, parlay it?
Yeah.
It feels like if you hit the one bet, you're going to hit the other for the over.
Unless it's 52-0.
Again, there's like four or five numbers there that could lose you that bet. But otherwise, it feels like a quote-unquote free chance to double up if you are taking Ohio State.
Yeah.
I'm going to say if they score over 50, I'll take my chances that they get to at least 57.
And I don't think Rutgers will score.
Well, then maybe the other is also true. Just take the under and the Rutgers score.
I mean, Rutgers maybe could get a touchdown out of it. Just I doubt it, though. I mean,
I mean, Ohio State
feels like a 66-7 kind of game.
Ohio State was nice enough to Maryland, I guess. Like they were 43-point favorites over Maryland, well, right?
They covered big time. They covered pretty easy.
Oh yeah, they did cover pretty easily. When I left and I quit paying attention to that game, it was 59-14, and I was like, oh, okay, Maryland might cover here. But
they scored two more touchdowns.
Yeah, but then Ohio State scored two touchdowns in the last 8 minutes. They were trying to be nice. They were just running the ball and just ran right down their throats.
73-14. That's a
Ohio State is it's crazy to me. Like Justin Fields, all these games, even when they're beating the teams down and scoring 70 points, he still only had 200 passing yards and three touchdowns.
I can't
just
decide.
Stable of backs, man. They just got a stable of running backs.
I can't decide who's better between them and LSU. LSU has a much more proven. They're way more battle tested, but Ohio State is just running over people. I hope that's the national championship game. I think it'd be a good one. I want to say I think Ohio State's better, but I don't know.
I will say that Ohio State might be better, but I will also say that I trust Joe Burrow more than Justin Fields.
Joey Heisman.
Like when I watch Ohio State and I look at Justin Fields' numbers, he is obviously great, but his completion percentage is never really very good. Or at least that's usually his weak point. Like 64% against Maryland, like I said, 16 of 25. Even against Wisconsin, who they dominated, 12 of 22. Against Michigan State, 17 of 25. So there are some opportunities there. In the Indiana game, he was 14 of 24. So I do think he has a little bit more of accuracy problems than Joe Burrow. So I think if those two teams matched up, I would maybe lean towards LSU. But on the other hand, Cody, Ohio State's defense seems to be much, much better than LSU's.
We'll see what they do against Penn State and Michigan. Ohio State's got a backloaded schedule. They play Penn State and Michigan back-to-back, and then they'll play looking like Minnesota.
Row the boat.
Big win for them over the
weekend. That was also something I feel like you got right. I don't know if you outright picked Minnesota, but whenever I was talking about Penn State rolling them, and you're like, no, not going to happen.
I'll take credit for it.
I don't know if you picked Minnesota to win, but you acted like it was going to be a dogfight for Penn State. I did not think it would be. I thought P.J. Fleck cashed in his contract extension because he didn't feel like he had anything for Penn State. Turns out he cashed in his money a week too early, because I'd imagine the price would go up if he had waited a week. Because Minnesota is going to be, when the new playoff rankings come out, they're going to have to be in the top eight, right?
Yeah.
At least they'll be in the top eight.
The new playoff rankings are going to be interesting.
We'll talk about them on Wednesday.
We will. Clay Travis said, I don't really like acknowledging Clay, but he said that he spoke to Deion Sanders over the weekend about that FSU rumor and the coaching job. Apparently, Deion said it's hard to be a candidate when you haven't even talked to anyone from your alma mater. So Deion Sanders reportedly told Clay Travis over the weekend, no one has reached out to him. That seems maybe like more of a rumor than anything else.
Ian Rappaport was the guy who I usually don't trust these. I mean, I know we talked about it like last week, so I'm not saying I was, calling Ian Rappaport a liar at the time. But I will say that Ian Rappaport was he was the one who tweeted out on that Sunday morning that Tennessee was talking to John Gruden, right? Didn't he tweet that out like on Shiano Sunday? Did he was the NFL writer, right, who came out and said there's real strong mutual interest between Tennessee and John Gruden. And then like 3 hours later, Dan Walken was like, it's Greg Schiano. I just don't know if NFL reporter Ian Rappaport's necessarily plugged in the college coaching game.
Maybe not.
I think he might just be getting played by agents every now and then. Or in this case with Deion Sanders, just random people telling him things.
Maybe so. The football TV lineup is set for next weekend. Tennessee-Missouri game going to be at 7:30 Eastern time on the SEC Network. Texas A&M, Georgia got the SEC-CBS game there. Not a great slate next weekend, but we'll get to play Missouri at night in Columbia.
It's going to be really cold.
And did you know Tennessee, this is only the second time that we're not playing on CBS during the season since 96?
When was the last time that was asked? I think Russell might have asked that, or somebody asked
2014.
Okay, I was going to say, I feel like that was the year. That was my answer when I
had thought maybe that game against Georgia was a 3:30 game, but it wasn't. It was a noon ESPN game. I went back and looked at the schedule, and it's...
Yep, I remember that being a noon. I went to my friend Adam's house and watched it.
Yeah, that was the last time. So that's it. So only the second time since 96, no CBS games. Bet you we'll have one next year.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel pretty confident Tennessee will be at CBS 3:30 on a CBS game next year.
Almost certain of it.
Any other headlines?
Nothing great that's too fresh, but there were a couple things that happened Friday as we went off the air.
Oh, yeah.
And the news feels so old.
Yeah, but James Wiseman.
The James Wiseman thing and the Fulmer, came out on the renovations to Neyland, which that's been ongoing for a long time.
Yeah, any rapid-fire thoughts on the renovation? He had kind of changed it.
I'm ready for it. I want it to happen.
Do we care about the 100,000 seat mark?
I don't particularly care. I don't know. Do you care?
I don't care if they take seats out, but I'll say I do kind of wish they would stay like at least at 100,000.
I kind of think we should just be at that number.
Maybe 100,098.
Yeah, or just 100,000 even.
Perfect, right on the knot.
Yeah.
I have always had a sense of pride that we can do 100,000. I think that's cool. I'd be okay if you took out 2,455 seats or whatever. I'd be fine with that.
Is it going to be weird that the video board is going to kind of dip down into the upper deck, but the other one's not going to?
I don't know. I'd say eventually they'll redo the other one, too, and make it similar. Eventually.
I feel like they should be the same, the video boards.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. We'll see how it looks.
I am excited about that south end zone renovation, though.
Okay.
That's much needed.
And with the James Wiseman news, Memphis is defying the NCAA, and they're like, hey, nope, we're going to keep playing him.
Yeah.
Do something about it.
Maybe what we should have done with Urosh.
Maybe.
See how it plays out.
We'll see if Penny Hardaway and Memphis can beat them. Maybe that'll change college athletics a little bit, and you'll see more people doing this. All right. Stick with us. Well, let's talk some more college football. Let's talk some more college football, and then we'll do winners and losers of the weekend, and then we'll get out of here. It's Talk Sports, Fan Run Radio. Twitter writes in, Cody thinking about, or, yeah, let me try that again. Cut the mic off, Cam. Let's try this one more time. Twitter writes in, Cody thinking that Trevor Lawrence isn't a good quarterback is starting to discredit any take he has.
What now?
The people are saying that
The people are one guy on Twitter.
Is saying that you're... bullish nature on Trevor Lawrence is starting to discredit any take you have.
Excuse me. Did I ever say he's not good?
Yes.
Did I say he's not good?
Yes, you say he throws a lot of interceptions and is not good.
11-7 during hour two. Cody, Trevor Lawrence sucks.
I feel like what I meant by that is he's not that great. He's not that great.
Did I ever say he wasn't good? No, you said he sucks.
When did you...
11-7 hour two.
I wrote down the quote.
I told him you said put it on record.
I know you put it on
the paper. I think you went out of your
way
to say put it on record. And I said, Cam, make a note of that.
I put it on the... Cam put it on the paper. But Cam was
did
taking notes.
Did I ever say that? Yes, 11-7 hour two.
Cam was taking notes.
And I quote, Trevor Lawrence sucks.
Cam was taking notes. That doesn't necessarily mean it's an actual quote that I said.
I put quotation marks, so
it's probably
maybe.
Yeah.
We can check the podcast.
It's probably the gist of what I said. I don't know if I actually said he sucks or not. I don't think he's as good as all you sheep thought he was. That's my whole point. I'm not saying he's not a – I mean, he's a top 10 quarterback in college football, probably top 15. But he's not you people acted like he's the next Peyton Manning. And I don't mean you and Cam necessarily. I mean people listening to this that did. Acted like he's the next Peyton Manning when he beat Alabama. They jumped all over him. That's all I'm saying. He's not that good. He's not as good as Burrow. He's not as good as Tua. I don't think he's anywhere close.
It's a little bit different than what. I mean, it's a little bit different than what you said. So sure, if you want to say he's not on their level, okay. I'm not saying I even necessarily agree. I think there's been a little bit of being bored for Clemson. You've seen them ramp it up a little bit. You know, we did point that out last week. Like, I do think Trevor Lawrence is. I mean, they're just every game they go into, they're like 30 point favorites.
They're bored.
You don't think they're bored? You don't think they're possibly bored from being 30-point favorites every game?
If that's a problem, maybe Dabo needs to figure out how to get his team up to play.
I mean, they're still winning. They're still winning every game by 30 points except North Carolina game. That's the only close game they've had is the North Carolina game. Like, that's it. That's it.
So Trevor Lawrence is throwing picks because he's bored?
I think there's some of that, but
I don't think so.
He has gone three straight games without any, and last week against North Carolina State on Saturday, 20 of 27, 276, three touchdowns, a rushing touchdown on top of it. He's started taking care of the ball better.
Tua and Burrow throw for they're two of the top three in the country in passing yards per game, only behind the Washington State quarterback.
I understand that.
That you got. The Washington State quarterback who does nothing but throw, he's number one. And then it's Burrow and it's Tua, averaging 355 and 323. You got to go way down there to find what Trevor Lawrence averages.
I mean, that's fine if you want to look at just statistics, but you of all people,
230
biggest
yards
Tom Brady fan I know has to acknowledge, like, it matters more at certain times of the year, man. Like, Brady doesn't put up the regular season numbers. You're going to take Brady in the NFL playoffs. I already know you are. Lawrence is college football's Tom Brady.
That's why I think it's ridiculous. Trevor Lawrence he beat Alabama one time.
That's it. He did. He's
right.
He is 1-0.
Congrats to him. He beat Alabama one time.
He has never lost.
Have we forgot about the loaded defensive line that helped win that game?
You don't say that about Tom Brady?
The loaded wide receiver.
You don't say that about Tom Brady. You just say Brady.
Some idiot
Brady
told me this weekend that if Trevor Lawrence was at LSU, he'd be doing exactly what Joe Burrow is, as if LSU's receivers are better than Clemson's.
Maybe the coaching's better. Maybe he'd be up.
I don't know. I mean,
there's less margin for error.
I don't know. That's another. Everybody had Dabo as he's a better coach than Saban last year after he beat him.
I mean, one person.
Maybe Coach O suddenly is better than Dabo.
One person is still. When I mean coaching, I mean just the game plan and the way they're playing offense. LSU is trying to make a statement that they have a new offense. LSU and Clemson are identical in the win-loss column. Nick Saban has lost this year, so like
it's fine. LSU's beating four top 10 teams.
I mean, that's fine. Clemson's playing whoever's on their schedule, and like I said, they played one close game against North Carolina. Outside of that, they have dominated everyone else. 55-10, 59-14, 59-7, 45-10, 45-14, 21-20 at North Carolina. That's the only close game. 52-10, 41-6, 24-10 against Texas A&M, and it was 24-3 before A&M scored a last second touchdown. 52-14.
Cool, bro. Yeah, cool. He's not as good as Burrow or Tua.
He's better than Tua.
Nah, he's not. It's not what the numbers say. They've played similar schedules.
The numbers. Do you think Washington State's quarterback's the best in the country?
No, but
because you said both their numbers are trailing Washington
Alabama
State's quarterback.
Alabama is Tua's putting up
why do
better
the numbers. Why do the numbers matter?
What do you want me to? What do you want? If you don't want numbers, what do you want?
I'm asking if you think the Washington State quarterback's better too, because you're talking
about
numbers.
All they do is pass. He's got 455 attempts versus everybody else who's got 300 something attempts.
How many attempts? I mean,
he's got nearly double the attempts.
How many attempts does Joe Burrow have?
Quarterbacks. Joe Burrow's got 299 attempts.
How many attempts does Tua have?
234. Would you like to see Trevor Lawrence?
Trevor Lawrence has 252.
Okay, so pretty much on par. And he's thrown for fewer yards, fewer touchdowns, more interceptions.
40 times more.
I'm looking at game averages, not just passing yards. These are game averages. I'm looking at game averages. I'm looking at touchdowns. I'm looking at interceptions. And Trevor Lawrence ranks nowhere near Tua and Burrow in any of these categories.
I understand that.
That's all I'm saying.
I'm not – the stats don't –
you're talk completion percentage?
The stats don't matter.
Burrow's 78%.
Let's talk national –
you're the biggest stat guy in the world.
No, I'm not.
You love stats.
No, I don't. I love stats that matter. These don't matter. Let's talk national championships. How many has Burrow got?
Well, none yet. He just came on the scene.
He played as many years as Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence played 1 year. Joe Burrow's played 1 year. Okay.
Season hasn't completed
yet. You want to talk statistics? We got one champion over here with a championship ring. We got one who does not have one. If we want to talk statistics, that seems like a pretty big one.
How in the hell could Joe Burrow win a national championship?
He was a starting quarterback last year.
9 games into the season.
He was a quarterback last year.
He's 9 games into the season.
Did he play last year?
Was that LSU team as good as the team that Clemson surrounded Trevor Lawrence with?
I don't know. You were just talking about Edo being better than Dabo and all this stuff.
I didn't say that. I said that's what everybody's suddenly saying.
I don't think anyone's saying Edo's better than Dabo. You're the only person I've heard say that.
Words in my mouth. And I want you to take them out. I want you to reach into my mouth and take out all the words you're trying to shove in.
Open up.
Take them out.
You're talking statistics. Like, those aren't going to tell the story. Like, Clemson's beating the hell out of people. They don't have to throw the ball a bunch of times. They don't have to. Trevor Lawrence doesn't have to be great. He's turning it on now. He's peaking. He's like a racehorse. He hasn't thrown any the last 3 weeks.
He threw a lot at the start of the season.
That's fine. He's thrown three since week
four. When the competition was better.
He's thrown three since week four.
He's not playing an SEC schedule either.
I mean, that's fine. I don't know if Alabama's really playing an SEC schedule either. They played one good team and they got smacked by them at home.
LSU's played good teams.
LSU has. At least played better.
And Alabama's going to have to play Auburn. They've played better teams than Clemson.
Alabama hasn't played many better teams than Clemson. Not many.
The numbers are all better.
Not the national championship.
Especially for Burrow. If you want to argue Tua, that makes a little more sense. But
I mean, look,
he's nowhere close to Burrow.
Burrow's played great. Until I see Burrow do it in the playoff, I'm going to have some skepticism.
Well, let's give him a chance to get there.
He had one last year. He failed to get there.
Has Trevor Lawrence beaten Alabama on the road?
Nope, beat him at a neutral site, though.
He could only beat him at a neutral site.
It was away from Clemson. They had to get on the road to go there.
And so did Bama. I didn't see him going to Tuscaloosa in SEC primetime and win.
It's almost like home field advantage matter less than ever before, huh?
No.
Crazy.
It's almost like Burrow's a better quarterback.
Crazy how that works, how a team can go into Alabama and win this year. It's almost like home field advantage.
Let's put the NFL careers on the board, Cam. I'll take Burrow. You take Trevor Lawrence. Mr. Confidence.
I mean, we'll take Trevor Lawrence over Burrow, but I mean, like.
Go for it.
That seems like a really long board bet. Like. How do we?
Let's check in 5 years.
Okay, I mean, where are we going to check in? Like win loss? How are we going to decide who's better? Just
we'll know who the better
quarterback
NFL
rating.
Quarterback
okay,
we'll know.
Put it on the board, Cam. 5 years from now, Joe Burrow versus Trevor Lawrence.
This is the new Mariota Winston.
They're going to be in different draft classes because Trevor Lawrence is still a sophomore. I mean, I'd hope Joe Burrow would be a little.
Can't even get drafted this
I'd
year.
Hope Joe Burrow
He's
be a
so
little.
He's so good, and he can't even get drafted.
I'd hope Joe Burrow would be a little bit better. He's a grown-ass man. Isn't he like 23? Isn't he like a fifth-year senior? How long has he been around? I feel like he's been around forever.
I don't know. Well, got to defend the baby hope, Trevor Lawrence.
I'd hope he'd be better.
He was so good last year, though.
Joe Burrow's about to turn 23 in December. I'd hope he'd be better than a true sophomore.
I'm sorry that man. You wanted him to be Peyton Manning, and he's not. I mean,
He's really, really good.
Okay.
I think he's really, really good, and
I ever said he was bad,
I think you said he sucked.
If I said he sucked, it was an exaggeration. He doesn't suck. All I ever said is he's not one of the top level quarterbacks. He's not one of he's not in the tier of Tua and Burrow. Is what
just
I think.
Wrong too. He's
not wrong.
He's better than Tua.
Okay. Add Tua in on the board bet.
Please find Tua.
Check in 5 years.
Please find.
When the Dolphins are 15-0.
The last 2 years. Tua. Like, let's remove him coming in and mop up duty in the national championship with Tua, which he played great. Since that moment, his sophomore and junior year, has Tua beaten one good team? Or what you consider a great team? Has he?
I mean, you can say the same about Trevor Lawrence.
No,
outside
I can't.
Of the Alabama win.
He smacked Notre Dame in the playoff.
Okay, Alabama beat Oklahoma in the playoff.
Sure. I mean.
Same thing.
Okay. So, I mean, Trevor Lawrence is up 1-0, if that's the way you want to look at it.
Trevor Lawrence's team got the best of Tua's team in the national championship, yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm talking about performance. Like, look at Tua scored 16 points, bro. Wasn't it 41-16? Was that not the score? What was the score? 51-16? They could have scored 100 on him if they wanted.
Do you think that perhaps Clemson's defensive line that was full of NFL draft picks had a little something to do with it?
Do you think that it was the difference between 41-16 or whatever the score was?
I think a pretty good defensive line can wreak havoc on an opposing quarterback.
Okay. that big of a difference.
Perhaps game plans played in, you know.
So now you're saying Dabo. So now you're saying Dabo's better than Saban.
Coaching in that game, yeah.
Okay.
In that game, he
just
was.
Just trying to keep up because you just said Ed O was better than.
No,
Dabo.
I didn't say that. Ago. I said that's what all these idiots out here are saying.
Mm. Okay.
I did not say that.
Just trying
that
to.
That was not my opinion.
Keep up with what you think about Trevor Lawrence, because, and like what matters, because you want to give me numbers, but then we look at numbers head to head and numbers in the big stage, and Trevor Lawrence dominated. Now you want to look at all the surrounding parts and other factors in those numbers, but when you want to give me season-long numbers, you don't take into account game flow or the fact that Clemson coast in every one of their games.
And yet what you're arguing is simply one game that Trevor's team won.
I'm arguing over two seasons of body of work, too. Like, I mean,
they've both beaten up on scrubs.
Right, but when the pressure was on in the national championship, I mean,
Tua got sacked when the pressure was on because Clemson had a great D-line.
Okay. That just poor Alabama defense with no NFL talent. That defense with no NFL talent.
Maybe
just,
Saban's starting to get exposed.
Now, that's a different conversation.
So what Joe Burrow did to him.
That's a different conversation. Saban 0-2 in his last two big games. Bet he wishes he still had Jalen Hurts because can't win with Tua. Tua can't win the big game.
I don't think that's the problem.
Zero big wins as a starting quarterback.
He's kind of hurt.
Injury prone. That's going to play into effect, too. Guy's always hurt.
Yeah, he got hurt by a pretty good defense.
It's true. I mean, it's not his fault. If Trevor Lawrence had to go against Tennessee, maybe this would go different. If Tennessee would have hurt Trevor Lawrence, I might have a different answer. You're right about that.
Maybe he was going up against an orange swarm. I don't know what you expect.
That is true.
And not a lot of guys can withstand that.
You think Tua saw the orange swarm of Tennessee and had flashbacks to Clemson's orange jerseys and was like, oh, my God, they're back?
Maybe.
That might have been it. Let's play some winners and losers of the weekend. Stick with us.
The McKinney team with
All right, it's 2:30. It's Monday. You know what that means? We're a little bit behind because it's 2:35. That's one of the things it means. Also, it means it's time for winners and losers of the weekend. Cam, hit the music.
Winners and losers. Winners and losers. Winners and losers. Winners, losers, winners, losers, winners. Win. Sometimes you gotta win. Win. Sometimes you gotta win. Win. And someone can be the best, win. The best, win. The best of you. Winners and losers.
All right, Cody, hit me with your winners of the weekend. Who won this weekend?
Number three for me, I'm going to go with the Arkansas Razorbacks. Now, how can the Hogs be a winner after losing 45-19 to Western Kentucky, right? Well, they finally pulled the plug on Chad Morris. They did it in year two. Smart move. It was never going to work out. And now they get to do a coaching search. So, just like I called Florida State winners last week after their bad loss, I always like a coaching search. It's good for the fan base, and it adds a little bit of excitement to an awful season. So they get to go get their new guy. Who are they going to get? You know, new guy.
Who are you going to get?
Hot boards warming up.
Who are you going to get?
So put them at three for firing Chad Morris. That guy sucked. Number two, I'm going to go with Minnesota. Minnesota. And I'm not just talking about the Gophers. I'm talking about the state of Minnesota. Because
okay.
The Vikings pulled off a big win last night on the Cowboys.
That's a pretty good one, Cody.
So you know that the people in Minnesota who are football fans, I'm sure there are several who are both Vikings and Gophers fans, right? They both got to see big wins. Of course, the Gophers with a big-time win over Penn State. And my number one winner, I go with Joe Burrow and LSU. I didn't really know. I guess I'm going just Burrow because I think he locked up the Heisman, as I said earlier. But, I mean, the team in general. You go into Tuscaloosa, you beat Nick Saban, arch rival. You hadn't beaten him in 8 years. That's a huge victory, and the whole country was loving it.
LSU has the most juice across the country, right?
Hell yeah. And Coach O, man, that post-game speech.
Like I said, we might end up regretting it. I don't know if they're looking at Harrison Bailey, but if he was like, hey, I'm going to go play with my Marietta boys. Either way, like, you're going to start losing some battles, recruiting battles to them, because I do think LSU is about to really surge when it comes to recruiting. It does seem like they would be the most fun team to play for and the most fun fan base to play for, the combination right now.
Well, at least they're not in our division.
Right. You know, and it would be nice for them to take down Alabama. It would be like maybe we should be rooting for LSU to
Yeah.
Just unseat Alabama because obviously we play Alabama every year, and them taking over from them would probably be beneficial.
If we got to sacrifice a couple recruits to allow LSU to take the West and for Bama to start to disintegrate, I think it's worth a trade.
Alabama can't have very much confidence right now. Like I know you still think they're going to make the playoffs. I don't. I think it'd have to take a lot of losses from other teams for them to get in. I just don't know how you get in if your best win's Auburn and you haven't beaten anybody else.
Because it's Alabama.
I understand, but like surely that can't happen again because they've already gotten in once without winning their division. Surely that won't happen again in a year where it does seem like there's five or six pretty good teams. But, I mean, Alabama, like I said, the whole country was watching their last two games against Clemson and LSU, and they got smacked in both of them. I know that was only a six-point game, but it was a lot – worse than the final score.
It felt worse. It felt worse, but it also felt like Bama had a chance to win it.
It did. It did feel like Alabama had a chance to win it, which, by the way, big loss for all you momentum people out there because I don't know how Alabama –
It swung a lot.
I don't know how Alabama could have had more momentum than scoring two touchdowns to get that game back to six and have the place rocking.
It was a crazy momentum game. It just kept swinging.
And then Joe Burrow said, I don't believe in momentum. I'm going to go right back down the field and score a touchdown. And then Alabama scored again, and then Joe Burrow's like, nope, going to do this again because momentum is fake and I'm just better than you guys.
Now that's why you like Joe Burrow so much. I see it.
I mean, Joe Burrow, like, it is crazy because, I mean, Joe Burrow, like I said, I've never seen a guy go from average to elite like this in 1 year. It is still wild, though, like we talked about. Appreciate Chris for sending this in. Or I don't think it was Chris. I think it was, let me see who sent this in. Tweeter, Big Orange Boy. I don't know his real name.
That's it. That's his name.
The Big Orange Boy. Joe Burrow is older than Lamar Jackson, which is kind of funny to think about.
Joe Burrow's 22.
He turns 23 in December.
Is Lamar?
Lamar's young.
He's 22, though.
I don't know if he is because Lamar Jackson's. I saw where Lamar Jackson's a lot younger than like half of these like top 50 prospects this year.
How would he? Why is he that young?
He's 22. Okay.
He
turned 22. I guess he's going to turn 23 in January, but I saw that he's still younger than like some of these first round picks this year.
I'm glad Lamar Jackson's young.
So that was your number. That was your number one pick.
We'll get to watch him play for about 10 years.
LSU.
Yeah, yeah.
Mine was the. I gave credit to your team, Cam. I threw credit to your squad, the Falcons. It's just nice to beat your rival, and to do it the way they did it, and feel good about themselves. And somehow the Falcons' two wins were the Eagles and Saints, which are both pretty good teams. Shout out to the Falcons. So number two for me, I gave it to the Steelers. I thought that was a big win for the Steelers. They're now right there, boom, smack dab in the wild card race. They actually have the sixth spot right now. And, you know, now they don't look dumb for trading a first-round pick for Minkah Fitzpatrick. Now they look really smart because Minkah looks like the cornerstone of their back seven. You got T.J. Watt up front, and then you got Minkah holding down the back seven. Number one for me, Coach O and Joe Burrow. I will say, though, after saying it out loud, I don't want to copy you, Cody, but I probably should have put Minnesota on there. You were right about that one. I forgot about
the
them.
State of Minnesota. Or just
I was going to put the Gophers, PJ Fleck.
You could make James Franklin a loser, maybe.
No, I got full losers.
Okay. Yeah.
But you had a good submission with the Minnesota. They definitely deserve to be on there, and I'll probably put them on there when I tweet it out so that I don't get 50 messages about, what about Minnesota? What about Minnesota?
Well, they gained respect, you know.
Yeah. No, they did.
That's good.
They did. Hit me with your losers.
All right, losers. I'm gonna edge out Florida basketball here. Honorable mention Florida basketball. Number three loser, I'm going to go with South Carolina. How do you lose to the Dolphins? Wait a second. Hang on. Let me restart. All right, losers. Number three loser for me, I'm going to go with South Carolina. How do you lose to Appalachian
State? Happy
State.
There you go. I was going to say, yeah, I don't know how they would have lost to
I imagine the Dolphins would beat them too, but – to lose to Appalachian State, their fans have to feel so just melancholy. But, that's not the word. They have to feel so just let down. You beat Georgia, and then you turn around, and you've lost to Tennessee. You've lost to Appalachian State. You got this brutal schedule. You've had a couple of highs, but it's mainly been lows. Now you start thinking again about firing Will Muschamp. You were feeling good about him after the Georgia game.
You're thinking about how Coach O and Joe Burrow all kind of rhyme? I know Burrow doesn't really fit it, but you can make it fit. Coach Joe Burrow.
And Joe Burrow.
Kind of crazy, huh?
Orgeron does not.
No, you just got to go O.
Rhyme with Burrow, no. Though.
Orgeron rhymes with orange. It's the only word that rhymes with orange.
I don't think it does. Orgeron oranges. Orange. So South Carolina, number three for their loss to Appalachian State. And, God, their quarterback to overthrow the guy. They had a wide open in the end zone to win the game.
Oh, God, that would be so. You would feel really, really, really bad if you were a fan there watching that replay for the next couple weeks.
You'd really be kicking yourself.
But that was Helinski, right? I mean, he was still in the game when that happened, right?
Yeah.
I want to say that everyone was scared of Ryan Helinski, and I've been maintaining that guy sucks.
Yeah, he's nothing special about him.
He is not good at football.
Yeah, number two loser for me, I'm going to go. I group the Rams and the Chiefs together.
Okay.
Both of those teams have lost four of their last six games.
Yep.
Shout out to SVP for pointing this out on SportsCenter last night. They're both 2-4.
At least the Chiefs sort of kind of have an excuse. I don't know what the hell the excuse the Rams – what the kind of excuse the Rams
Jared
have.
Jared Goff maybe just not that great. I don't know.
I'll never get over them giving him that big extension. Before the season.
Yeah, it's a little scary, but I grouped those two teams together because those were the highlight of the NFL last year at this time. Everybody was excited about the Rams and the Chiefs. They had that great game in LA, and now both lost four of the last six. Neither look like really a contender. I expect the Chiefs to be at the end of the year, but, you know, I don't know. And then the number one loser for me, the Colts. How do you lose to the Dolphins? That's what I meant to say.
Yeah.
When I said Appalachian State. Now I'm saying it again with the Colts.
That might cost the Colts playoff spot.
I know you didn't have your quarterback. You didn't have T.Y. Hilton, but still yet, you're –
play the Dolphins, bro.
Yeah, they're the Dolphins. And like you just said, it could cost them a playoff spot. When you're contending for the wild card and maybe the division and you're right on that edge, you can't take a loss to the Dolphins. And that's exactly what the
when you combine them losing this week with how they lost to the Steelers.
Yeah.
Like, not losing. Losing to the Steelers isn't necessarily embarrassing, especially in Pittsburgh. Like, Pittsburgh's pretty good, but missing that field goal to lose, and that's pretty tough.
Yeah, and Vinatieri, man. I mean, you know, maybe time to hang it up. I thought he had his redemption, but now it just he's missing extra points. It's just something's wrong.
So the Colts, instead of being 6-3, they're now 5-4, and they play the Jaguars and Nick Foles, and then at Houston on Thursday night, and then play Tennessee. So their season starts now, I guess. They're going to have to kind of scramble, but their schedule went from it looked favorable whenever you're like, okay, you should probably beat Pittsburgh's backup quarterback. You should probably win that game. You should beat Miami. Wow, the Colts could really be 7-2. Now they're staring at Jacksonville, at Houston, Tennessee, at Tampa, at New Orleans, home for Carolina, at Jacksonville. They got to find five wins there. That's going to be tough.
Yeah, especially in the AFC South. It's a lot of the Texans and the Titans and the Jags are all fighting for the same thing.
But then you still have Carolina, at New Orleans, at Tampa, the NFC South. I mean, I don't trust them to go to Tampa and win that game. I mean, they might be able to, but – they're banged up. They need to get healthy in a hurry. All right, my loser of the weekend real quick. Number three, Manchester City. Manchester City was playing Liverpool. Top of the Premier League type of matchup. And then Liverpool beats them 3-1. Liverpool maybe should have been the big winners. They are pretty clear right now in the Premier League championship race. They are 8 points up. Man City finds themselves in fourth. Number two for me, survivor pools. I don't know if you guys were ever in any elimination, suicide, survivor pools, but I'm in one, and we had, I think, 24 people left, and I got the email yesterday that all 24 people lost yesterday. Between the Saints losing to the Falcons, between the Chiefs losing to the Titans, and the Colts losing to the Dolphins, everyone was eliminated. Just like that. Everyone wiped out.
Wow.
No one survived.
So there are 24 people left?
Yep. It started like 100-something, and I think it started with 160. And
how does that work?
You just have to pick one team a week, but you can only pick that team once a year.
Okay.
And if they lose or tie, you're out.
Okay. Pretty simple.
Yeah.
And
you only use the team once. So, like, yeah, there are 24 people left, and they all got wiped out yesterday.
So everybody obviously yesterday was thinking, oh, I'll take the Saints. They're going to beat the Falcons.
Yep, or the Colts. Like, hey, they're playing the Dolphins at home.
And every single person.
Everyone got wiped out. So the the money is now going to be split 24 ways.
That's still weird that with 24 people.
Not one person survived.
Not one person had somebody else there that
nope.
could have. Yeah.
Yep. You hate to see it.
How about that? So you were one of the winners?
No, no, no. I'd been eliminated. I got knocked out like 60 left.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember who it was that lost that put me out, but I think it was the Rams. At least lost one of my submissions when I took the Rams over the Bucks, I think. I had two entries.
That sounds like one of those things that sounds easy, but it's actually kind of hard.
It is. I mean, especially in the NFL, because, I mean, usually, like, you know, there's only 14-point underdogs are usually the highest you can go. It's not like college football. But this year's been a little bit different with the Dolphins, you know, stinking so bad. But
it's like playing Power Hour with beer.
Yeah.
You've never done that.
I've had friends try it, though.
You take a shot of beer every minute for 60 minutes.
And then by the
and it sounds easy, like, oh, what, a shot of beer? But then you get, like, 26 in, you're like, ugh, I need puke. You know, it's kind of like that.
Number one for me, I usually don't like to double dip, but my number one winner was Coach O and Joe Burrow. Can't help but feel like my number one loser is Alabama. Maybe this will be an insignificant loss if they get in the playoffs like Cody thinks, but I don't think that's going to be the case. I think Alabama is now going to be on the outside looking in during the playoffs. Last call on the other side is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Saturday.
Last call is brought to you by Volunteer Vodka, award-winning vodka distilled in the hills of Tennessee. Shout out to my guy TC. We went to the Ice Bears game together on Friday, Cody.
Did you have a good time?
I actually did have a good time.
I met one of their players the other day.
Oh, yeah? Did you have a good time?
Well, I mean, I just talked to him.
Was it a nice conversation?
Yeah, he seemed like a nice guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
I left in overtime.
He's just like a regular guy.
I've went to two Ice Bears games the last couple of years, and both of them have gone to overtime.
I went to that other one.
We skipped out on that one, like by the third overtime.
Second.
This one to three. That one went to three. This one was just going to be like a 5-minute 3-on-3, and then a shootout, just because it's regular season.
They do it quicker in the regular season.
But I left at the end of regulation.
I didn't see the winner.
I was tired. I didn't see the winner. I drank a couple of the Volunteer Vodka special punches. I was a little sleepy.
Were those good?
Yeah. The Knuckle Puck. Shout out to Mighty Ducks, too. That was really good. It was Volunteer Vodka.
Lemonade?
Volunteer Vodka and Lemonade. Yeah, it was really good.
It's hard to go wrong with Volunteer Vodka and Lemonade.
Yeah.
That may be my favorite alcoholic combination. Lemonade and Vodka.
Volunteer Vodka.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no other vodka to buy anyway.
That was really good. And then they had one called the Sin Bin, I think, which was basically a LIT. With Volunteer Vodka, which I also liked. That was really good.
Those will get you trashed.
Yeah.
If you drink.
So then I was like, hey, Kendall, let's go home. You got to drive. I'm ready to go to sleep.
Didn't drink and drive. That's
absolutely
good.
Absolutely not. Yeah.
That's good.
Told the missus, you need to get in the front. Let's go.
You should never drink and drive.
Not at all. Drink responsibly.
Especially on Veterans Day.
Especially.
Don't do it tonight.
Especially on Veterans Day.
A lot of you are going to be out there drinking for Monday Night Football. Okay, catch an Uber.
All right, let's go with some pump the brakes or keep rolling.
Or Lyft. I think we're boycotting Uber now.
You want to go first or second?
Second.
We got a Sports by Brooks coaching search update. Give it to me.
I like that guy.
Really?
Yeah, he's a bit of a nut.
I was going to say he's a big nut.
I like nuts.
Okay. Multiple sources have confirmed to Sports by Brooks that since Chad Morris was fired at Arkansas last Saturday, the Auburn Board of Trustees member Jimmy Rain has been canvassing for contingency head coaching candidates in the case that Gus Malzahn takes the Arkansas job.
Here we go again. Here we go.
I'm going to be really fascinated to see this play out with Arkansas because I don't think you should touch that job if you're a promising coach.
No.
I would want no part of that. Like, if I am Bill Clark at UAB, maybe. But even then, like, I don't know.
That's a tough job.
If I'm Mike Norvell, I'm not leaving Memphis for Arkansas. I mean, I know I got ties there or whatever, but
he'll be in the running for
Big. No, yeah, he's the favorite right now on Bet Online. He is the 2-1 favorite. Elijah Drinkwitz, who is that guy? I heard that name.
That's the guy that he came up there in our search.
Where is he at though? What's
Elijah Drinkwitz? He was what the hell was he? He was somewhere in the Big Ten. Was it Indiana? Eli Drinkwitz?
Oh, he's now the head coach at Appy State. I don't know where he was at a couple years ago, but he's the head coach at Appy State. He took it whenever Satterfield went to
I want to say he was at Indiana.
Okay. Either way, he is the second favorite. Lane Kiffin at 4-1. I feel like Lane Kiffin at 4-1, Mike Leach at 6-1. Those would probably be Arkansas's best bets.
Drinkwitz went to Arkansas Tech.
Yeah, he did.
So he's got ties there.
That's right. He was at NC State. He was the OC at NC State, not Indiana. I remember him.
Feels like, I mean, Bobby Petrino 18-1, Houston Nutt 25-1, Gus Malzahn 12-1, Hugh Freeze 8-1.
That could be a good one.
Hugh Freeze?
Where's Petrino at?
18-1.
They'd love to have him. He'd be the one that they would want most besides Gus, probably.
Taking Hugh Freeze would be interesting. You wouldn't be the first school to hire him. You know Hugh Freeze is miserable at Liberty. It's like, yeah, I'm coaching football again, but I'm coaching somewhere where it doesn't even matter.
And they make him coach from the hospital bed every game.
Yeah. I think it'd be weird for Arkansas to do, but maybe. All right, the drive's up next.